Scripture reading is Isaiah chapter 60, 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nurse at thy side. Then they shall see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee.
Amen. Good morning and happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
It is good to be in God's house. Amen. And I tell you, I want mountain-moving faith. Yes, that's what I want. Mountain-moving faith. And it begins with prayer. Amen? It begins with prayer. It begins with prayer. Today we're going to study God's Word. And I'm always excited when I get to share God's Word. So if you want to see me get even more excited, bring some more people and fill out these pews. We want that kind of faith here. Pew-filling faith. Amen? Where we can go out and bring some more for Jesus so we can get more soldiers of the cross to help us finish this work of the everlasting gospel. You know, this week I went on Facebook and I saw this little person here. Who is that? Is that a Leah? Yes, I saw that on Facebook and I thought that was pretty neat. You know, she was over there at the Corning Museum of Glass. And, you know, her little sketch became an idea. And so they made that little... We call it panda beer type of a deal. That's pretty nice. So I thought I would just bring Aaliyah to church with me. And then I looked this morning and she was. So I downloaded the picture already. So I just slid it right in, you know. Yes, it's so nice. I thought it was a pretty neat story as I saw this week. You know, I always start at the cross like you know. I always start at the cross. And I don't know if you can make it out in the audience. The faint writing of Jesus there. Can you see it? Faint spelling of Jesus. The cross towers over us. The light of the cross shines about us. And the way of the cross leads home, doesn't it? It sure does. Well, you know, people's names in the Bible are usually very significant. People's names in the Bible. An example is the name ending with the letters IAH. IAH is a short form for God's covenant name, Yahweh. Therefore, any biblical name ending in IAH is saying something about God, like Isaiah, which, you know, Naomi just read that nice scripture reading for us. Thank you, Naomi, that was nicely read for us. Isaiah, it ends in IAH, and Isaiah's name means Yahweh is salvation. So anytime you go back to the Bible and you see anyone with a name ending in IAH, that person's name is saying something about Yahweh. IAH is a short form for God's covenant name, Yahweh. So Isaiah's prophetic message will somehow then say something about the good news that Yahweh is salvation. And my first question to you today is, how is your salvation today? How is your experience with salvation? Are you saved from sin today? Isaiah's message was as much for his time as for ours. Destruction was imminent for the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel. They're in deep apostasy and they faced an irreversible scattering. They were going to be dispersed. They were going to be sent off in a diaspora. Looking down the vestiges of time, Isaiah saw that we too would face a similar crisis, that danger of apostasy. entire denominations, while claiming to follow God, are abandoning strict obedience to clear Bible teachings. But even if all other denominations do, as God's remnant church of Bible prophecy, we cannot. Amen? God raised up the Seventh-day Adventist church to give the world a clearer revelation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why we have been called out. And today my message is to arise, shine, your light has come. Arise, shine, your light has come. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And I encourage you that as we go through, even though I have it on screen, pop your Bibles open. The preacher might just have made a mistake, and it might be the wrong text on screen. So pop your Bibles open too and follow along and make sure what I'm saying is the word of God. Amen? Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah starts out here with two verbs, which is a fitting reminder that our God is a God of action. Amen? His words are creative. And I like to say it, when God was making our world and he made water only on that first day and it was dark and God wanted some light, he didn't flip an electric switch somewhere. God simply said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the God we serve. His words are creative. God speaks and the thing is done. Amen? And all God's actions spring from a holy motive. God is filled with justice, with love, and with mercy, including on the great judgment day. Time on earth is running out. We are already living in the judgment hour. So let every believer shine brightly with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to let you know that now is the time to arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise means to get up. Arise means we are sitting soldiers. Arise means we should get on the march with the gospel of our Lord. Amen? Arise means to wake up from sin. Arise means to wake up from spiritual sleep. It's time to arise. Arise means to wake up from your too often comfort zone. Arise means to wake up from believing simply because you are a Seventh-day Adventist, knowledgeable of the truth, you are saved. Arise means to start winning souls for Jesus. Amen? Arise. Has the Holy Spirit been moving on your heart? That's a question for you to answer today. Then if so, partner with Jesus. Ask Jesus for a burden for souls. It is only in eternity will you fully realize the value of a soul. It is one of the greatest joys to lead another person to Jesus Christ. Amen? That was me there. We did a series in Washington State. You can see the smile on our candidate's face there. It's amazing. That's one of the candidates who got baptized. It's a joy to lead others to Jesus Christ. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, your light has come. Now, a question I have for you is, have you ever seen the sun doing tryouts before it shines? Have you ever seen that? No, not quite. As surely as the sun rises, it shines. Amen? The sun obeys its creator's command to give light and warmth to both the just and godly people, as well as to the unjust and ungodly people. Likewise, we, as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventists, are to give the light of present truth in the everlasting gospel to would-be rejecters of the truth as well as to the would-be obedient. In Matthew 13 and verse 43, Jesus says, "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ear to hear, let him hear." Amen. Are you the righteous today? Which class are you in? Are you in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father? Are you obeying God's command to arise and shine? Has your light come? The Bible says the light has come. But where does it come from? And the answer is still right there in Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. What's the source? And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of the Lord is the source of your light. But what is the glory of the Lord that is risen upon you? You know, in his encounter on Mount Sinai with the Almighty God, Moses pressed God for a certain favor. The scripture says, and he said, "Please show me your glory." We can take the Bible answers for our answers. Amen. What is the glory of God? Moses asked God, "Show me your glory." And by the way, this question, this request came after God had shown up in all kinds of majesty there on Sinai. There were earthquakes and thunderings and lightnings and great hail and all manner of supernatural sign. It was after all of that that Moses still said to God, "Please show me your glory." God responds. Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." The glory of the Lord is not merely seeing his literal face. The glory of the Lord is the manifestation of his character as represented in his covenant name, Yahweh, Lord. Our light comes when the Lord's glorious character is sealed in our foreheads. John chapter 3 and verse 18, the whole world knows John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, the same story continues here in verse 18. John 3:18 says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Then in verse 19, still cueing in, "And arise, shine, for your light has come." John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation." What is it? "That light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Then verse 20 says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." This light is Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, when you start in verse 12 to get through to 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city lit and set on a hill cannot be hid." Are you shining for Jesus today? Are you shining in your school today for Jesus? Are you shining in your workplace for Jesus? Are you shining at the place you shop? Are you shining for Jesus there? Are you shining in your retirement? Are you shining for Jesus today? The command is to arise, shine, for your light has come. And then verse 21, John says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Amen. When we are in Christ, we don't have to go secretively about what we do, because we want it to be known, because we want it to be known that these deeds have been done in Christ. Arise, shine, your light has come. Now you know I like to draw from the writings of Ellen White. You know that by now, amen? And I'm not going to spare you this morning. I'm going to give you something from her pen. This is Child Guidance, page 69. To parents who have begun their training wrong, I would say do not despair. Amen? Sounds like some encouragement for parents. Amen. Do not despair. You need to be soundly converted to God. And conversion is more of what we need in this age. Amen. Christians who are truly converted to God. You need to be soundly converted to God. You need the true spirit of obedience to the word of God. Amen. That's what parents need. You must make decided reforms in your own customs and practices, conforming your life to the saving principles of the law of God. When you do this, you will have the righteousness of Christ, which pervades the law, because you love God and recognize His law as a transcript of His character. Any of you here been to college before? Raise the hands. When you went from high school to college, they did ask you for a transcript of your grades, right? Yes, so a transcript is a printout of your academic performance. Well, here in this little passage, it is saying that God's law is a printout of His character, a transcript of His character. True faith in the merits of Christ is not fancy. It is of the highest importance that you bring the attributes of Christ into your own life and character, and educate and train your children with persevering effort to be obedient to the commandments of God. Amen? Obedience is a good word, and we need more of it in this age. We need obedience to the law of God. We need obedience to the commandments of God. And thus saith the Lord, should guide you in all your plans for education. I like this. And thus saith the Lord. Amen? And so I don't want anyone teaching my child evolution. Amen? I don't want anyone teaching my child that two men can get married. Amen? I don't want anyone telling my child that two women can get married. Amen? We're going to stand by God's word, cost what it may. We're going to stand up with Jesus. Amen? And thus saith the Lord, should guide you in all your plans of education. Who all started out in the wrong? We all did. So this counsel of the parents is a counsel to all of us in this room. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And in sin did our mothers conceive us. Amen? But God's gospel through His grace makes all the difference in me. How about in you? That is why I can with confidence say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What it is? It is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Amen? Amen, and praise be to God. When we're obedient to the gospel, things happen. When we go proclaiming Jesus, people respond. Amen? Yes, my friends. And we want the waters in Elmira to be troubled too. We want people to be converting to Christ and to be making decisions for the kingdom. Isaiah 60 says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and beat darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and His glory will be seen upon you. Amen? And there are others that the glory of the Lord has risen above, I tell you. I believe in soul winning for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the living God among us. He's a living, active agent of heaven, the third power of the Godhead. And when we do our work right, we will see souls coming into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When we live right and teach right as Seventh-day Adventists, when we do Bible work right, when we pastor right, we'll see more people being added to the church. Amen? God wants us to continue to lead souls to come to know Christ and to take their stand in baptism, to join His remnant church and get on a mission duplicating the same thing that have been done for them. Amen? And I tell you, I know the waters at Elmira will be troubled before this year is over. Amen? There are people right now being prepared to join the church through baptism. I just want to let you know that. Bring them in. This is the time to finish the work so we can go home to live with God. We're making the call. This church ought to be an evangelistic center. This church ought to be a place where Christ's name is highly exalted and souls are coming in from the left and from the right, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. Now is the time to make disciples for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you haven't been doing it yet, this is a wake-up call to you. God is saying it's time to arise. It's time to shine. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah 60 and verse 3 says, "The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising." It will come up later on, but I want to say it now. The term Gentile is not a derogatory term as some have made it in times past. The term Gentile simply means the nations. Period. Today, it's the word that we say ethnicities. God is saying it was not going to be this homogenous group of people anymore. People are going to come from everywhere to join this movement. Amen? That's the point. So whenever you see Gentiles, never think that it was a bad word as some have made it. No, it simply means other people who were non-Hebrew, non-Jewish. Other ethnicities. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They shall gather together. They shall come to you. Your son shall come from afar and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant and your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall return to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The Jewish people, from Isaiah's to Christ's time, failed God miserably in their temple and synagogue services. So God folded up himself into a little human bundle, coming as Jesus Christ to fulfill God's righteousness. And here was a prophecy given long ago in Genesis 49 and verse 10. You know what a scepter is? That's the royal staff, the rod, that a king, a queen, a prince, a monarch carries. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah," the tribe of Judah. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people." The King James Version says, "Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Unto him shall be the obedience of the people. This prophecy has been remarkably fulfilled. Jesus is our Shiloh. Jesus is our Lion of Judah. And it's a term that originated right here in Genesis 49, verses 8 through to 12. Jesus breaks every chain, including gathering us, former Gentiles, to now be his covenant people. Amen? Yes, my friends, Africans, Asians, European ethnicities, First Nation peoples, Latin Americans and Arabs and Jews now make up God's remnant, New Covenant Church. Amen? Isaiah's message surely applies to us. Yahweh is salvation. Jesus, our light, has come. Jesus has made us his reflectors. Amen? And I hope you can see Christ in me. And I hope I can see Christ in you. Jesus has made us his reflectors. And he sends us to proclaim the judgment hour message. The three angels' messages. The testing Sabbath truth. The help message, etc. God chose the Seventh-day Adventist Church to lead this final movement. Amen? We are called for a special purpose. The prophetess says in volume 4 of the testimony, page 390, "If there is one work more important than another, it is that of getting our," that's the Seventh-day Adventist, "publications before the public, thus leading them to search the scriptures." Didn't know that was the role of our literature. And we have a nice literature rack out there in the foyer. It's not for you to take them and go gather in your home, put in your home to gather dust. It's for you to take and give to others. And as they read and come to conviction, they'll go search the scriptures to see, like the Bereans, whether these things are so. And on March 8th, when we have this upcoming booth, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be putting literature, our publication, before the public. Our goal is to help them to get back to the scriptures. Go search the scriptures and see what God says for yourself. Get a first-hand knowledge of God from his holy scriptures. If there's one work more important than another, it is that of getting our publication before the public, thus leading them to search the scriptures. And this is what Jesus said. I like this one. Now, this one is right in my corner. I told you before, my favorite book outside the Bible is The Great Controversy. And this is what the author of The Great Controversy says about The Great Controversy. By the way, you know, in our Seventh-day Adventist church, we have 28 fundamental beliefs. Number 8 is the fundamental teaching of The Great Controversy. Did you know that? That's fundamental belief number 8. And here, the prophetess Ellen White says about The Great Controversy that she wrote, "The Great Controversy should be very widely circulated. I am more anxious to see a wide circulation for this book than for any others than I have written. For in it, in the book, The Great Controversy, for in it, the last message of warning to the world is given more distinctly than in any of my other books." Letter 281, written 1905. What does that mean for us? It means we should be scattering the book, The Great Controversy, like the leaves of autumn. We should be ensuring that everyone we know, everyone who is our friend, everyone who is in our circle of influence should get a copy of this book so they could read. Because in it, more than in any of the other books that Ellen White has written, is given more distinctly the last message of warning to this world. That last message is more clearly given in The Great Controversy than in any other book that Ellen White has written. We want to first read it for ourselves, amen? So we can come to this conviction. And then as we read and enjoy, we want to share it with others so they too can come to this conviction. The light that we have upon the third angel's message is the true light. Amen? The mark of the beast is exactly what it has been proclaimed to be. We want to know these things. There is certainty in Jesus Christ, even in these uncertain times. Amen? So let no one steal your joy. Let no one rob you of your salvation. A destroying enemy power prowls about like a roaring lion. But praise God, we have Jesus as the Lion of Judah to defend us. Amen? And he breaks every chain. Catch this one. While you hold the banner of truth firmly, proclaiming the law of God, let every soul remember that the faith of Jesus is connected with the commandments of God. In other words, it is impossible for you to keep God's Ten Commandments without the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Cause and effect. The cause, faith in Jesus Christ. The effect, faithful commandment keeping. Cause and effect. Our faith in Jesus empowers us to keep his Ten Commandments. If you try it any other way, you'll be a legalist. You'll be a Pharisee. God's law cannot be kept apart from, aside from, faith in him. And any relationship with Jesus that doesn't lead us to obedience to God's Ten Commandments, it's a strained relationship at least. So when people say all we need is a relationship with God, that is true if we understand what it means. A relationship with Jesus Christ leads us into covenant with him, which is keeping his Ten Commandments. Amen? And obedience is required. I'm glad it's a natural outworking of a relationship with Jesus. So I don't have to create a checklist and muscle up and do something in my human strength to try to keep those ten. But when I'm in love with Jesus and in a relationship with him, I'm grace empowered to keep those Ten Commandments. Amen? So while you hold the banner of truth firmly, proclaiming the law of God, Let every soul remember that the faith of Jesus is connected with the commandments of God. The third angel is represented as flying through the midst of heaven, crying with a loud voice, "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Revelation 14, verse 12. That's the last statement in the third angel's message. The first, second, and third angels' messages are all linked together. The evidences of the abiding, ever-living truth of these grand messages that mean so much to us, that have awakened so much intense opposition from the religious world, cannot be extinguished. I wonder if you're catching what this is saying. As Seventh-day Adventists, you walk around with a bullseye on your back because you proclaim to be a Ten Commandments Sabbath keeper. And the religious world is not very excited about Seventh-day Adventists. I can tell you, part of the reason for an empty church is that we don't do our work diligently. That's part of the reason. Another one is, our message is a very unique one. And many people aren't willing to make that sacrifice just yet. And people say, avoid those Seventh-day Adventists. Avoid them. Avoid them. You know what the real truth behind why they encourage their members to avoid us? Because when we engage them in the scriptures, they're going to be convinced and not going to go back where they once went. So that's why they tell their members, avoid these Seventh-day Adventists. Because when people see this message, they're going to see the beauty of it. They're going to see Christ in it. They're going to see the truth. And they're not going back where they came from. Because they have now seen that this is all biblical. It makes absolute sense. And in the greatest level, it is logical. I didn't grow up a Seventh-day Adventist. I grew up Anglican. I told you that before. As a child, I went to church on Sunday. But I have been called out of Babylon. And I have responded. Amen? I know I'm going to stand with the word of God. I'm going nowhere. I'm standing as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, living by the word of the living God, by his grace and faith in him. I'm not going anywhere. I've been called out of Babylon, and I ain't going back. Amen. Amen. Satan is constantly seeking to cast his hellish shadow about these messages so that the remnant people of God shall not clearly discern their importance, their time and place, but they live and are to exert their power upon our religious experience while time shall last. And that's Ellen White in the 1888 Materials, chapter 132. The influence of these messages has been deepening and widening, setting in motion the springs of action in thousands of hearts, bringing into existence institutions of learning, publishing houses, and health institutions. All these are the instrumentalities of God to cooperate in the grand work represented by the first, second, and third angels flying in the midst of heaven to warn the inhabitants of the world that Christ is coming again with great power and great glory. Amen? Amen. We are called to proclaim. Revelation 18, there it is. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons. Hey, I want you to mark that. The angel proclaimed that Babylon has become the dwelling place of demons. Demons. We're going to find out what Babylon is. But that's scary. I don't want to be in a place that is a dwelling place of demons. Amen. Yeah, Revelation 18 says, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. I want to drag your mind a little bit. What do you think this might mean? Foul spirit, unclean and hateful birds. Adventists don't like anything unclean, you know. We quickly refer you to Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14. We tell you those texts real quickly. We don't want to deal with the unclean. When the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism, what form did he take? The Holy Spirit, what form did he take? He came in the form of a dove. Now, is a dove a clean or an unclean bird? A dove is a clean bird. Can you see the implication of the text? The Holy Spirit came in the form of a clean bird upon Christ. Well, if it's an unclean bird, whose spirit do you think that might be now? Satan's false spirit. And I'm going to say something quite serious, quite frankly. Between the years 1900 and 1902, a movement started in Southern California that has swept the United States of America and beyond. It's a phenomenon of Pentecostalism. And this idea of speaking in tongues, unclean spirit, pretending to be the Holy Spirit, but far from the Word of God. I want you to just think about Babylon here a little bit when you think about this phenomenon called modern day Pentecostalism that has swept the churches, and some Adventist church went that way too. Pentecostal model. It become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Catch this. This is the same message that was given by the second angel. There it is, Revelation 14:8, the second angel's message. And another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen. Same like in Revelation 18. Babylon is twice fallen. That great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Here's something unclean again, fornication. Unclean. But what is this wine of Babylon? What is that wine? The answer is her false doctrines. For example, she has given to the world a false Sabbath instead of the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. The false Sabbath is going to church for church service on Sunday. That's the false Sabbath. Let's make it plain. That's where I grew up, but I told you I came out of Babylon and I'm not going back. The false Sabbath is the observance of Sunday as the day for church congregation. The day for the church to worship God. What else? And has repeated the falsehood that Satan first told to Eve in Eden. What did he tell her? What was the falsehood he told her? You will not surely die. That's the belief that the dead are not dead, which is the mantra of modern spiritualism. There is no death. There are no dead. That's what they say in modern spiritualism. Rebirth right here in upstate New York in 1848. And so many Christians today believe in ghosts and believe in departed spirits. It's Babylon. It's one of the wine, one of the doctrines, one of the teachings of Babylon. God says you've got to give it up. Here it is. The natural immortality of the soul. That's the idea that he told Eve in Eden. Many kindred errors, many similar errors. Babylon has spread far and wide. She has spread far and wide. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. That's what Jesus said in Matthew. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. When Jesus began his public ministry, he cleansed the temple from its sacrilegious profanation. Among the last acts of his ministry was a second cleansing of the temple. Catch this. So, in the last work for the warning of the world, two distinct calls are made to the churches of Babylon. Two distinct calls are made to the churches. The second angel's message is, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's the first call to the churches. Who knew what year this message went out? It was the summer of 1844 when the great Advent revival, the Millerite Adventism, got started. And more than 100,000 followers from every existing denomination then, they really embraced the idea of Christ soon coming. And they proclaimed it with fire and fervor, with zeal, with passion. They gave their all. And then the churches, those existing denominations at the time, began censoring anyone who joined this movement. And it came to the realization of these preachers and students of the Bible that the churches was this Babylon that the scripture was speaking of. They did not love the soon coming of Christ. It stirred their minds, and they were frightened at this prospect that Christ might soon come, and they were not ready. And so they began persecuting those Millerite Adventists. So that message went out. And then the brethren finally saw that they must indeed call it what it is and declare these churches to be Babylon, in opposition to the teachings of Scripture. And in the loud cry of the third angel's message, a voice is heard from heaven saying, this is the second cry, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation. Now your salvation is also dependent upon your response to Yahweh's call to come out of Babylon, to arise, to shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. John picks up the same warning tone, and he says to come clean out of Babylon. There's a lot of spiritual and gross darkness in the nominal churches. And we see it. There are no marrying off two men. There are no marrying off two women. They have drinking the wine of Babylon, and they are making many of God's people to imbibe this error, drunken with sin. There's a lot of this darkness going on, and your only safety is to come out of and depart from any church that has departed from the Bible. Amen. God's holy scriptures stand true. Amen. We should give up on biblical beliefs. Give them up. It does not matter how fond your view or however much you cherish them. The churches of Babylon are unsafe to remain in. The doctrines of Babylon are incompatible with the character of God. God calls it spiritual darkness. He calls it gross. God says to get out. It will drown you spiritually and dwarf your spiritual experience. Spiritually, you will become developmentally challenged if you remain in Babylon. And in contrast, those who conduct their lives in harmony with the Bible will enjoy God's glory. His character will be seen upon you. Amen. As I chose, I am letting you know that when we do things God's way, the different ethnicities will come to our light, and kings to the brightness of our rising gospel movement. When Seventh-day Adventist Battle Creek Sanitarium operated on the health principles God revealed, it became renowned. It was visited by the rich and famous President Warren G. Harding, went there for treatment, for example. William Taft briefly visited on September 21st, 1911. Yes, all these people went there. Amelia Earhart, she was treated there. Harriet Truman, she stopped in there. All these great names went to Battle Creek when we did things right. When we did it God's way, it was a world-renowned institution. By the way, there's a picture of September 21st, 1911. Who is that? Huh? That's President William Taft visiting Battle Creek. Right there. When we do things God's way, people are going to come to us. Amen? As we lift up our eyes to the majesty of the heavens, we will recognize that Jesus, our light, has come. Christ is our glory, and he will bring back your wayward sons from afar. Backslidden daughters will return to the faith and be nurtured at your side. Then you will rejoice to see it. You will become radiant. Your heart will strengthen with joy. The abundance of wealth of many peoples will be turned over to you. Even the wealth of many ethnicities will come to you. So God says to arise, to shine, because your light has come. Friends, this light came to me in 1996. 28 years now. And I can tell you it's the best 22 years. Did I say 28? 22 years now. It's been the best 22 years of my life. This is a truth worth dying for. And since it's worth dying for, I'm going to live it. Amen? I'm going to live for it. And I'm going to enjoy others to stand for it. Martin Luther King Jr. says, if you'd not found a cause in life for which you are willing to die for, you're not fit to live. And I have found such a cause in Christ Jesus as a member of his remnant church. Friends, this is the last church. There's not going to be another movement. This is it. Is that you are on board or you're not? Can't play in the river on the bank any longer. We are either in or we're out. And we can be physically in, but we are mentally and spiritually out. Let us be in all the way. Amen? Let us arise. Let us shine. For the glory of the Lord, the character of the Lord is risen upon us. And Christ wanted to seal his character in us, that Revelation 7, 1 to 3 tells us. Or like Ephesians 4, 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Holy Spirit is in the business of doing the sealing work. Are you ready to be sealed? Are you safe to be sealed for eternity? Our light has come. Christ is our light. And he says we shall arise. We shall shine. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. God rose up the Seventh-day Adventist Church to give his final message of warning to the world. It's the last invitation. We must get everybody to RSVP before it is too late. Amen? So let us shine for Jesus. If this is your commitment today, let us stand and sing our prayer. Hymn number 264. Oh, for that flame of living fire, which sun so bright in saints of old, which bade their souls to heaven aspire, calm in distress and in danger, we're bold. Amen. And just before I pray, I would like you to take a silent moment and just say to God, Yahweh is salvation. Please give me your salvation afresh today. I want you to have the assurance and the affirmation that you are saved today and you have God's salvation. So before I pray, I'll have just like a minute of silence where you're praying for yourself, specifically for your salvation right here, right now. Father and our God, we've come to the end of the third quarter of the Sabbath. About one quarter of the Sabbath is still left. We've gone through the main service, through Sabbath school. And we're about to exit this moment of worship service. And we want to exit with the assurance of salvation. You have said plainly in your word that we should arise and shine For the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Our light, who is Jesus Christ, has come. So come into our hearts and minds right now, O Lord. You said in your word, at the entrance of your word, give it light to the understanding. And we are praying for your light to be in us right now. And make us light of the world, dear Jesus. Help us to go light up the world for you. We're going to sit down for a fellowship meal. Help us, Lord, to remember to have holy conversations on the Sabbath, to discuss things that are beneficial to our spiritual growth and development in you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for each one who participated, Jesus. From opening up the facilities this morning, from teaching children and adults and different Sabbath schools, and for the word, for singing, for the music of playing the organ and all of that, Jesus, the children's stories, scripture reading, we thank you for everyone who participated. We thank you that we worship you through giving in tithes and offerings. And we ask now, Father, that you'll bless our food, that you'll bless us, and help us to have a wonderful fellowship time. When you return, may each of us here, along with the others who made ready to meet you, may we be among the people that will be going home to live with God forever. This is our prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' holy name. Let everybody say, Amen. Amen. Amen.